Are we starting?
Yeah.
Okay, so hello everyone, welcome to the Storage Podcast. Big main topic today is about standardized testing. So our first guest here is Mr. Buren. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mr. Buren. I teach AP Gov, Law, Financial Literacy here at Westmont High School to seniors and some juniors. And I'm honored to be here.
All right. How long have you been teaching Gov, or teaching here in general?
A couple days.
All right. So yeah, once again, big topic today is going to be about standardized testing. So when we say standardized testing, it's involving like SAT, ACT, PSAT, and you know, the big thing with you is, well, AP exams, right? So today we're going to be focusing for you, again, mostly on AP exams, but let's have a first general question. So as you know, College Board is moving overall to an online format. So I don't know if AP Gov is being moved to online. It seems like it is.
It is.
What's your opinion on that? And do you think like this is going to affect any authenticity of the test? Is it going to make it more difficult? But what's your opinions on it?
You get concerned about, first off, the credibility of it. Are individuals going to be able to, is it going to be a secured site? AP allows some practice sites and so forth, and they feel they're pretty secure in locking things down so students are unable to cheat in regards to it. You get a little concerned about the writing portion, because some students like to, when they write, they like to make some detailed rough draft notes. They like to kind of go back and maybe outline things before they start typing, and you lose that kind of organic authenticity when you're straight typing on a laptop. And so I'm a little concerned about that. College Board has gone full digital this coming spring. So I wonder about that aspect. I mean, I'm prepping my students for that by moving all of mine online. But I'm concerned about the security of it, and then the ability to kind of brainstorm naturally with some written paper. I'm hoping they will allow kind of some pencil paper rough drafting, but again, obviously it's unknown territory this year.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like you kind of gravitate more towards like, is it like a hybrid amount of online and like paper, or would you like rather just have a full paper?
I'm old school. I want to see a student show their brilliance. We are in a new world, right? AI is a tool, the internet's a tool, but we're also dealing with young individuals who they don't really have all the directions on those tools. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like we've handed them this, and where's the directions? And so I am concerned about that. I want my students to be critically thinking. I want them to analyze. I want them to come up with their own views with research and evidence that they were able to take, versus just someone else saying, you, hey, here's how it is, and kind of robotic answers. I like the creative aspect.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, as someone who's already taken like 5 AP exams, I found that honestly, it is more simple on paper. Sometimes the digital has too many instructions, or like sometimes the split screen, it's very like overloading of information. Sometimes it can be very complicated. So I agree on the aspect that it's like, moving to an online format has been a little iffy. Then again, it's in its like planning stages and its new stages.
Yeah.
It could definitely improve. But yeah.
I know from previous students who've taken online, they get really stressed when they see the big time counting down on them in their face.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you can minimize it or close it out. I don't think so. From what I hear is this clock is just staring at you, counting down your life as you're already kind of stressed on it. And yeah. So, you know, that's not something I want. I already have some issues about College Board, but it is what it is. So, you know, looking up at a clock or having someone give you a reminder, I think is a little less stressful than a clock beating in your face.
And I think, like, especially with, it just kind of sucks because this year's kind of like guinea pigs. We're like the guinea pigs for, you know, the future AP exams, which definitely puts a lot of pressure on teachers, especially because, again, things are changing with how they're maybe phrasing questions, or, you know, maybe just the content that they're going over. You know, because things are changing, things are, you know, developing. So I think it's definitely very interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the data point on it. Mm-hmm. AP World, US, you know, they did digital, so you kind of look compare some data from there. I'll be interested to compare my data from this year from last year. But again, you know, you need a cycle to kind of turn a little bit before we can truly say where we are with it being a positive or a negative. Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like this is the trend and they might just go with it. And so it'll be interesting. But yeah, your point is well made.
Right. So let's run it back a little bit. You did mention that working with College Board is a little frustrating. So let's have a little bit more of a open question. From what you can say, what would you say is one of the more frustrating things working with College Board?
Their archaic nature. The notion of trying to do rote memorization for students when nowhere in our society now we are needing to memorize. Mm-hmm. We pull out our phone with internet access and we need some data, we can use that data. Mm-hmm. When I teach law, my law class is completely open notes because you're not going to go into a courtroom trying to memorize an entire case or you're going to lose. So I am a little concerned about that. Some of the questions that they ask of historical relevancy, fine. But when you ask timeline type questions, that's irrelevant. We need to be asking questions that are critically thinking, analyzing charts and cartoons and data and seeing where trends are taking us versus, hey, let's memorize X, Y, and Z, when you don't need to memorize that anywhere in society. Mm-hmm. You're not going to go into a job interview with no notes, with no background, with just kind of trying to memorize. And so what's our ultimate goal of these assessments?
Right. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like, the aspect of having to memorize a year's worth of curriculum is definitely a heavy task. Yeah. Although, like, some would
glad I don't have to do it.
Yeah, no. But yeah, no, some would say it's definitely harder. Some would say it's easier for memorization. Some people just find it easier. They find it easier to just memorize rather than applying. But speaking of, like, this old archaic nature of College Board's, you know, curriculum and testing methods, do you think now, in the modern day, like, do you think they're going to slowly move away? Like, do you think they're going to start changing their testing methods of how they test students mm-hmm. instead of, like, memorization, maybe, like, you know, applying in real world? Or, like, do you think there's going to be any major changes to College Board tests within the near future or maybe the future?
Or maybe you could talk about, you know, AP Gov, like, what would you want to see for the future exams or something, maybe it.
So in 2018-19, give or take, AP Gov did change a little bit. They incorporated an argumentative essay instead of just having the standard FRQs. So they put an argumentative essay in place, which is kind of to revamp their multiple choice questions, became a little more DBQ based, more analysis based. So you saw some of that revamping going on. So they can, their goal is to give that skills to prepare for college in the process. You know, I have a tough time because the root question that you're kind of saying but not is then what is education? Mm-hmm. What is the goal of what we are attempting to do through K through 12? Since we mandate that as a society, K through 12 education, what then is the goal? Right? We have this focus now of these artificial GPA, SAT, ACT, mm-hmm. you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1s on these College Board. But that's not equating whether a student is going to be successful or not. Even forcing colleges to jump through these hoops for these kids, are we really taking into account an individual's work ethic, an individual's character? GPA to me doesn't guarantee someone is going to be successful in life, because you can be extremely book smart, but yet you have no real world application in regards to it. So I think the bigger discussion, and I don't know how much we want to get into it here, is where is the goal of education going now that we have these tools? And for my class, you know, I've revamped it to incorporate the real world aspect, promoting the financial literacy, promoting the critical thinking analysis, being able to get up and discuss and have dialogue with another individual, work on ice breaking. Those things aren't ever going to go away. Mm-hmm. Those you have to be able to be good at if you're going to be successful in this game.
Yeah, and that's something that I definitely, I mean, obviously I'm a junior, I plan on taking AP Gov and Econ, and that's something that I really appreciate about your class in particular is teaching economics and teaching, you know, financial literacy, because that's super rare to come across, especially now in our modern day. We're not educating our students on the topic. Like, people don't know how to do their taxes. People don't know how to do these things that were, you know, common knowledge, you know, X, Y, and Z time ago, right? So that's something that I definitely want to give, you know, you props to. And I think just like our school system and our school system, particularly at Westmont, which is, yeah.
And one thing, I mean, California has now is mandating financial literacy as a requirement for high school students coming up in, I don't know, 2028. So obviously too late for y'all, but they are going in that direction. I think there is that kind of push. As we start to evaluate and say, wait, you know, for the last 20 years, we've gotten in this relationship of college, college, college. Well, you start to look around and say, well, the jobs, it's a service-based economy. You know, what are we really pushing if the jobs aren't equating with that college degree? Because colleges are just, we'll take your money, we'll raise your costs, but we're not helping you. So we'll give you this piece of paper, but we're not helping you equate, and we're not even guaranteeing you that this piece of paper is going to give you any skills necessary to be successful. And that bothers me.
Yeah.
And that bothers me, especially when we're talking to individuals at 17 and 18, and we're like, hey, we'll plan out the next 30, 40 years. How can I? Technology is adjusting and changing all the time. They say on average now we're going to have seven to eight jobs in our lifetime. Well, in those 7 to 8 jobs, I'm going to need different skills. I'm going to need different background, different knowledge. How can you tell me that this piece of paper is covering that for the next 50 years?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, no. And it's definitely the way like education is going, it's definitely not along a linear path. And speaking of like the linear path, I'm aware that you have children, correct?
I do.
Right, and they are, I hope that they take AP exams, some sort of standardized testing.
Sure, hopefully. Absolutely.
If it's required, or maybe if you want them to take the tests. But a thing that students do have to face nowadays, and who knows, maybe in the future, is, well, the financial requirement of going into AP exams. Mm-hmm. Now, without any sort of fee discounts, fee waivers, one AP exam is $100. So you can only imagine a family, let's say two kids in high school, let's say each kid is taking 4 AP exams. That's almost 4 figures right there, just around the season of May, just for a few hours of their life just to take some tests. Do you think, like, what's your opinion on this? And do you think, like, there should be some sort of, like, method to help out students? Maybe, like, you know, like cut it down a lot more, or maybe just not incorporate a financial obstacle for students?
So there are some programs that do assist those that fall in certain categories to assist with that. $100 to take a test is a travesty.
Right.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Mm-hmm. If we are saying you need AP classes to better yourself and challenge yourself, and then all of a sudden now you have to pay for this test to even get it certified, that doesn't even make any sense to me in this process. I don't even know why there is AP and on-level classes as is. If we're trying to teach all students the same with equity and rigor, then everyone should have that same standard. And then the GPA or our school's graduation requirements should reflect that. Mm-hmm. So the notion that I'm having to pay for an SAT, which I think now they're free, but don't quote me on that. Yeah. But AP wise, yeah, I'm going to take, I've had students who've taken 10 APs. You do the math, then you add college applications to that mix. How am I, this is before even college starts, and I haven't even begun to start the bills towards my debt. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, where does the money go? What is College Board doing with that money? A couple people sit around, they make a test. Well, if 500,000 kids take AP US, times that by 100, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And now if we're putting it on digital, it doesn't cost that much money to be
print paper.
Yeah. So no, I am not a fan.
Right.
Absolutely not a fan of charging students for a test that you just kind of wonder the relevancy.
Yeah. And I think for me that that's such an interesting point is like I feel like this really challenges the idea that College Board is a nonprofit because you're not a nonprofit if you're making millions and millions and millions of dollars of student tests. And I think that your point is really valid that now we're going online, it's up to the student to have a computer and they're not having to print paper. And obviously I think that that was the part about AP exams that was expensive is shipping, security, keeping things definitely organized. And I think that that's a really interesting point that you bring up.
Yeah, well, and more importantly here, now the MCQ portion, that's going to be graded instantly.
Yeah.
Now that you've gone digital, that thing is graded. In my class, my students have their score right as they're done with the exam. Once they submit, boom, there's their score. So now, okay, I have to grade 4 FRQs. So, okay, you gotta hire out for that. But that's not going to be the same cost of having to go and run all the Scantrons and run all the MCQ portions. So you've cut labor in half. I should see that same reflection on College Board exam costs. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're doing that. I will see. Because I think as of right now, almost, 80% plus of all College Board exams are going digital. Mm. And I think within a year or two, they're all going to be digital and maybe an opt-out here. So maybe by then, costs should come down. But that is not normally how it works.
Definitely really frustrating.
Especially in your educational bureaucracy.
Yeah.
No, definitely, yeah. The financial barrier is honestly really frustrating. I mean, again, thankfully, there are resources to help, but yeah, let's hope the price is cut down by half into those labor cuts with the implementation of online MCQs. One last question, or maybe we'll have more, but one question for you is, do you think American standardized testing has the worst end of the stick? And what I mean by that is, I'm not sure if you're aware, but in other countries, specifically Asia, in China and India, they had these really large exams. Basically, in my opinion, that I feel like determines the rest of your life. So I know in China, there's an exam called the Gaokao exam. Basically, it's one huge standardized test, and you take it towards your last few high school years, and based on the results of those exams is which university you go into, and most likely going to affect what job you're going to get and then the rest of your future, because, in this economy and in this world, everything relies on money and how much you make from your job. So do you think our side, as Americans, experience the worst end, or do you think it could be worse as shown by the other countries with their standardized testing?
Yeah, Europe also does what you're talking about in regards to it basically determining where you're going. We used to call it tracking here, which we don't like that term in education of tracking students. We have tried numerous standardized testing. Y'all went through the STAR test. You probably remember the STAR test days or the last group of that. We used to have the high school exit exam, which people had to pass to then graduate high school, which people fought. I guess a couple things you have to ask yourself. Number one, are these tests equitable? A lot of times you got to wonder about the questions being asked. How is it being taught? What do you do about the different levels of education? In this area, your education is by your area code, it's by property taxes, things of that nature play a role. It's hard to compare America with a lot of other places because of our diversity, mm-hmm. plus federalism as a factor for us. And then I guess, when I look at standardized testing, I'm also looking at, okay, what about vocational? We need vocational workers. We are in a massive shortage, and it's those that keep the country alive. So we have this, let's college, but if there's not jobs for just college, what do you do for all those that need the trade and we need to work in trade? Mm-hmm. How does standardized testing, deal in that nature? Standardized testing in the United States, I'd say compared to other places, we are not even on par. I'd say it's relatively less than, sure, you want to take some APs, you want to get into those good colleges here and so forth, but you can still get into a lot of good colleges without those APs, and you can get a college degree and go be very successful because of the freedom in our country, where some of those other countries, not so much the case.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, I mean, I brought up this question mainly just to, as like insight for American students too, high school students, and even some middle schoolers now are worrying about standardized testing. Oh no, I have to take the SAT in a few years and AP exams, and it's just like, in reality, although these AP exams are generally encouraged, I feel like we're very lucky that it's not required for mm-hmm. most colleges. And again, as you said, you can get into a lot of very decent or even good colleges and get very high paying jobs if that's what you're looking for. And yeah, I think we're very lucky once again that it's not required at all.
And I would look at it like this. When you're going to take a test, life is full of tests. While in school, the test, and like we do in my class when we create ourselves an assessment journal, it's more a test of how are you preparing? How am I preparing? What am I doing in my life to be successful for this one moment? Mm-hmm. Maybe the moment is in high school, is this AP exam or a unit exam in a class. But later in life, your exam is, here's your job interview. What'd you do to prepare for that? You're going to ask for a loan from a bank. You're going to go ask someone to go on a date. Those are life exams that only you will be getting judged on. No textbook, nothing can prepare you for that. What school can do is, here's a test. Here's some potential options for you. What are your strategies you're doing to be successful in that moment? And so instead of saying stressing on it, I would look more at saying, hey, here's an opportunity for me to compete and see what am I doing to be successful. And then after that assessment, what can I do to be better?
Yeah, and that's amazing. And you know, I really appreciate your insight on this whole issue about standardized testing that we're hoping to delve into. And
once again, thank you for your opinions and your insight.
Your time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You guys are doing great work.
Hope you enjoyed.
All right. Yeah. So next time. Thank you, guys.
Next time.
Ah, there you go. I had to press record.
Oh, of course.
Okay. We're starting now. Okay. So hello, everyone. Welcome to the SWORD podcast. I've got to introduce myself last time. My name is Joseph. I am a senior at Westmont High School. And I will be your guys' SWORD host. And today I'm joined by a special and your grade.
Mm-hmm. Hi, my name is Claire, Claire Huang, and I'm a senior in Westmont High School.
Okay, Claire is a academically achieving student. She has taken, is it 9 APs?
10.
10? Okay, my fault. Yeah, 10 APs. So she's taken a lot. So I decided to interview her because it seems like she's very experienced with the whole College Board process. So speaking of College Board, Claire, what are your feelings towards College Board that you can say on the microphone?
I think College Board is a really good opportunity to, go into more advanced classes. Before we actually go into college. But yeah, it's also very challenging courses.
Yeah. They're very challenging. Mm-hmm. But another question for you is, do you think like the whole financial barrier, is that like very, very challenging? Because I heard you had to pay like $1,000 for your AP test.
Yeah, thankfully it was reduced a little bit, but there was a time where we had to pay almost like $600 to like $900 almost in AP testing because my sister and I, she's a junior, we both take a lot of AP classes. And I say that is a very like significant impact on us too. And I feel like that cost can maybe be a barrier to some people and they might want to avoid taking the test due to the money. So yeah, that's one thing to consider.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the financial barrier is definitely a big issue. And considering that most of like AP tests are moving towards like an online format, do you think like prices will go down? Because as mentioned by Mr. Buren, our previous guest, that since it's going online, it's gonna be like less labor costs. So do you think like, do you agree with him that labor costs will be going down and thus like the financial barrier won't be as like significant?
I feel that, of course, we do want to acknowledge the digital platform now. I'm not very sure if any of the prices will reduce, so I haven't heard news about that yet, so I'll have to research that. Mm-hmm. But I think even then, there is a lot of like labor and a lot of work that needs to go into, you know, creating these tests and just working with it. So I'm not sure if the cost will go down, but that would be a really good help, and it would probably be very appreciated by the students. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, AP Classroom, or not AP Classroom, College Board is like known for like helping students get credit for like college, right? Mm-hmm. So it's basically preparing students for college. Speaking of college right now, as a fellow senior, you're in the college application process, right? So along the lines of standardized testing, do you think applying for colleges is an extremely time-consuming task? And do you think it's been a healthy balance with your AP classes and, you know, like a college applications and just like filing all your AP reports, like your AP scores?
I think it is a very time-consuming task to try to while doing college process. I say the college application process, it's like it's always in the back of your mind, but also at the same time you have to be very like good at time management so that you're able to balance between, oh, do I study or finish my schoolwork today for my AP class, or should I focus on my college applications? Yeah, and ultimately filing all the reports, I think there are some good benefits to it because I took all these classes. I'm glad that I'm able to show that on my college applications. But also, yeah, a lot of it is focused on like GPA and such. So I think it just varies depending on the college.
Yeah, and it is very depending on the college, like you said. And actually, speaking of depending on the college, some colleges are going back onto requiring standardized testing, such as the SAT or ACT. I know you were worried quite a bit about your SAT score. So yeah, I've taken the SAT too as a senior, but it is indeed a very stressful process. How do you feel about it, like, kind of coming back? Do you think it's like an overall benefit? Like, you know, it's like able to test students on their standardized knowledge, or do you think it should go back to being, you know, like optional, or like, you know, like going test optional when it comes to college applications?
Acknowledging kind of the significance, as in like showing schools kind of more than your grades, I think it's always like a double-edged sword, right? Because it gives students a chance to show, even if maybe my grades were lacking because you missed a couple assignments, maybe you had an injury, you're able to show through your SAT or some standardized testing score that you do have like really good intelligence and things like that. But I think sometimes, because like even the SAT is made to be in like very psychologically kind of test, more than just, even if you take all these hard AP or advanced courses, you might necessarily do like great in the SAT. You have to very like study specifically for their format and the types of questions they give you. So I think, in my opinion, maybe not requiring it or relying on it so much, I think that is a better choice for the students, like as a whole. But yeah, it always depends and varies on the situation, of course.
Okay, and then for the rest of today, I only have about two more questions for you. Mm-hmm. First is a very open question. So as you said, you've taken 10 APs, right?
Yeah.
If there are any, like, are there any AP exams that you would particularly point out as, like, say you would recommend to fellow Westmont High School students, and one that you'd say, like, not necessarily stray away from, but is either more difficult or like maybe is very generic or very like nuanced towards a specific major slash study of field that you feel like isn't applicable for everyone?
Yeah, so from out of all my AP classes, I think the most I struggled with was AP Physics. AP Physics, yeah, it's a very challenging course. For some people, they like click really well into it. If you're the type of person who's like studying and it just clicks and everything makes good sense to you, then it is something that I know some of my friends really liked and want to pursue. But if you're like unsure, and also because you don't really see physics in a lot of our like classes beforehand, then you might want to just take a really good look and think carefully about it, because it was a very challenging class and a very challenging test. From my recommendations list, I'm currently taking AP Gov, and more than necessarily just like how easy the class is or anything like that, I think it's a very useful course. More than regular Gov, it teaches you a lot of life skills. You go into a little bit of econ stuff, and I think it prepares you really well for the future and like even after your college life, like how do you, like what career do you want to get a certain amount of money for your state of living. I think it's a really good class in that kind of aspect.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree when it comes to AP Gov. I mean, no bias since, you know, we just interviewed Mr. Buren, who is the Gov teacher here at Westmont. But yeah, definitely getting taught financial literacy is a huge, huge advantage when it comes into going to the adult life as a young adult. And then one last question is, I mean, I'm sure you've heard of, like, other countries' standardized testing. I know in South Korea, which is, you know, your ethnicity, like, South Korea has standardized testing pretty hard. Same with China. I know there's, like, one exam that just kind of, like, determines your whole college career. What I want to ask is, do you think standardized testing here, do we have, like, the worst end of the stick, or do you think it could definitely be worse in comparison to other countries? And I mean, if you have any, like, improvements, I would say, to the American standardized testing system, what would you do?
Yeah, definitely. I think America, compared to, let's say, like, some of the other countries or nations, I've seen very competitive and very fierce kind of testing. So a lot of people, as Joseph mentioned, it's almost like their entire grade or their college career is determined kind of by that score. They place very heavy implement on it. I believe that it doesn't necessarily, like, round up a person's entire character, though, right? So just one score, I feel like, should not determine someone's success in their school life. I think in over here, some good aspects are that we want to consider, like, extracurriculars, or we want to consider their essays into special consideration. And I think that might be sometimes a more, like, deciding factor than just one, like, test score. And I think maybe more than just how the standardized testing is set, just, like, how much, like, significance we place on it, that's more, like, up to us, right? Up to us as a society and up to the schools on how much they consider it. So I think considering, like, if we tend to consider, like, oh, not just the score, but there's a lot of other things that define this person and whether, like, they're suitable for this college or how well they'll do in their career, I think that kind of mindset will be better for us.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree. Like, I think, yeah, in my opinion, American standardized testing isn't the worst end. It could definitely be worse, you know. As you said, like, we definitely take into consideration extracurriculars and activities and especially the essays that the applicants write. And yeah, it's definitely a lot better than just getting determined from a single score. And, you know, you never know, you could be having a bad day, you're sick during the test day, and then boom, you know, your life's changed. So yeah, it's definitely not too bad on our end. But yeah, other than that, I believe that is all the questions we have for today. Do you have any additional comments?
No, I think. Okay. Good luck to everyone.
Yeah. Good luck to all our fellow seniors who are applying for college. Yeah, when this comes out, it will be around the time of once everyone's starting for UCs, CSU applications. Yeah, I mean, as I said, good luck to everyone applying for colleges. You guys will be okay. And I think that will be all for today. Thank you, Claire, for coming along.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's the end.